sing a song to shock people. Right. Good morning, everyone. While we're gathering, let's coalesce with a little bit of music. If anyone wants to move up a little bit, you can. I know everybody's hanging back to see if this guy's any good or not, but there's a lot of prime real estate right up front. Over my head, I hear music in the air, music in the air. Over my head, I hear music in the air. You can sing with me or sing the answer. Over my head. I hear music in the air. There must be a heaven somewhere. I like to say must be a heaven somewhere, because we have poetic ways of looking at whatever that is, that afterlife, a heaven in the universalist perspective, maybe the heaven we're going to make right here on Earth. I know it originally was must be a god somewhere, and you can sing that, or if you're uncomfortable putting in must be a god somewhere, you can use some other word. Must be a goddess somewhere, or Mother Nature, or peace, or the force, or whatever you want to put in there. Over my head, I hear trouble in the air. Trouble in the air. There must be a heaven somewhere. Over my head, I feel justice in the air. Over my head, I feel justice in the air. In the air, there must be a heaven somewhere. Peace is flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me. Flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free, setting all the captives free. Over my head, I feel peace in the air. Over my head, I feel peace in the air. Like you did at camp now. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.
Good morning, good morning. And welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of South County. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
We are a liberal church, a community seeking truth, justice, and peace for all. Our principles guide us in daily life, and we attend church service on Sundays to honor our faith. Today, I am honored to share this service with Jim Scott. Jim is an international musician, singer, composer, and performer, and writer of one of our favorite hymns, Gather the Spirit. He has also co-chaired the UUA's Seventh Sanctuary Project, which wrote the Green Sanctuary Program for churches like our own, that wish to become more environmentally conscious. Jim has already introduced himself to you. Let's give him a great round of applause.
Good morning, friends. I just asked for a moment to greet you today, to tell you that I love you, and that we are blessed to be here in community, and to invite you on this day to share all the love in your hearts, everywhere, that you can share it on every occasion, and to say that as community, as individuals, we hold our friends in Newtown in our hearts. The music will move our spirits beautifully today. But before we begin, let us be together in a few moments of silence, love, and peace. Blessed be.
I hope we're feeling musically inclined this morning. Is that this? Because there's a lot of places for you to help with singing this morning. Singing this song for three decades now. It's been attributed to me, but I didn't write it. A great Brazilian composer, Ivan Lins, wrote this samba tune, and we took the melody when I first joined the Paul Winter Consort and put new words to it. Not a translation, but new words. And I got to sing it. And there's a chorus, and it is in English, which the committee thought would make it easier for you to sing along, so we can do it in two languages like this. In a circle of friends, this means friends when you hook your fingers together. In a circle solace means circle of sound. Try that much. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sound, and almost the same melody, all our voices, V for voices, if you can spell, voices will blend when we touch common ground. Voices are calling round the earth. Music is rising in the sea. The spirit of morning fills the air, guiding my journey home. Where is the path beyond the forest? Where is the song I always knew? I remember it just around the bend. In the village, the music never ends. In a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common ground. Somewhere is the melody we need. There is a certain harmony, even a rhythm in the trees, in the song that we've always known. As every road comes to its end, so every path must cross again. Now I'm returning to my heart, back to the song that is our own. In a circle of friends, in a circle of sound, all our voices will blend when we touch common May we find number 347 in this great gray hymn book of ours, one of my 2.5 songs I'm honored to have in this great book of ours. They made me older than I am, but most of the notes are right. And I like to start halfway through and sing you the refrain, sort of, the part with the precipitous drop in the melody that happens. You can find that halfway through. So I'll sing that for an introduction, and that'll just be me and the people who weren't paying attention. And then we'll all start at the beginning. Gather in peace, gather in thanks. I was kidding, you can sing too. Gather in sin. At the beginning, gather the Spirit, harvest the power, our separate fires will kindle one flame, witness the mystery of this hour, our trials in this light appear. Gather in peace, gather in thanks, gather in sympathy now and then, gather in hope, compassion and strength, gather to celebrate once again. Gather the Spirit of heart and mind, seeds for the sowing are laid in store, nurtured in love and conscience refined, with body and spirit united once more. Gather in peace. Gather in thanks, gather in sympathy, sympathy now and then, gather in hope, gather in hope, compassion and strength, gather to celebrate once again, gather gather in thanks, gather in sympathy, sympathy now and then, gather in hope, compassion and strength, gather to celebrate once again. And we may be seated. We are gathered again in that dangerous bastion, the church that threatens family values, the church that wants to undermine the authority of the Father, the church that has half forgotten the Creator in its pagan worshiping of the creation, the church that those right-wing radio ministries have warned us about, this church of bleeding heart liberalism, some thinly veiled front for leftist politics, of homosexual propaganda, I like it here. The church that tells you you won't be going to hell no matter what you do in this life. And the church that often leaves the first few pews open for the diversity we're sure is going to show up. We're open to it. The church of practicing witches, whose very assertion they don't believe in any devil, confirms they must be accomplishing some of his work. And the church that sings carefully, not sure if there are any words we can totally subscribe to and not be questioning ourselves tomorrow or in the next worship committee meeting. The church that is not sure if there is, in fact, anything that we can celebrate with that passion and abandon those other churches hold for Jesus, the Savior, Son of God the Father. Although something lurks in us, we might be missing out on some of their fun. It is that search for ecstasy, enlightenment, and other things, including free coffee, which is often the only thing whose origins we don't question, that brings us together. This is my church, and I'm a zealot. This is the church that says to everyone, you're not only welcome, but we need you. And your creative input in our continuing, dynamic, and evolving culture. Diversity is a strength, a survival mechanism we believe in. We face the challenge of weighing new and ancient wisdom in our search for guidance in this life, as well as the continuing creation of our own mythology. It's not an easy job, and we come together in meetings like this to offer each other ourselves for sustenance. Well, even when I don't see a lot of people under 21 in front of me, which I see some out there, I still like to get a kid's song in a program. I wonder if kids would like to come up front this morning. I know you're not sure who this guy is, but he's pretty friendly. And you can bring your big people with you if you want to. Are there? Oh, yay, come on up here. And if you can just put yourselves around here. Oh, I still have to have my microphones in front of me. Hi, everybody. Is anybody in second grade? Who's in second grade? Anybody? Who's going to be in second grade next year, maybe? Yay! Who used to be in second grade? It was a good year. Well, the reason I bring that up is that I wrote this song with a bunch of second graders in Whittier Elementary School in Lima, Ohio. They told me all about the rainforest, and they knew all about it. I could see that as soon as I went in their classroom, and it was plastered with pictures and posters and every kind of media about the rainforest. So the way we write a song together is we get a big piece of paper and a magic marker, and we brainstorm up all the ideas, everything we can think of about the rainforest. And then we see what rhymes and what goes together. And they told me about the animals in the rainforest, so there's a lot of animals in the song. And they told me about the four levels of the rainforest. Four levels in the rainforest. Hi. Oh, yeah. Well, there's, yes, exactly. And there better be a forest there, too. He said, if we're only animals, that's right. We could get a little animal-centric here, couldn't we? Only talk about animals. But there's a lot of other stuff in the rainforest, of course. The biggest thing is these trees are like giant soda straws, and they pull water out of the earth. And when you get a certain kind of dense forest, where I used to live in Oregon, it's called a temperate rainforest. These kids told me about the tropical rainforest. So the animals are a little more exotic. And they told me about the four levels. That was news to me. I immediately thought it should go in the song. The four levels. some human made that up, the four levels. I like to say I think we were thrown out of the Garden of Eden for dividing it into separate fields of study, but that's another sermon. That was for the old folks. So the animals are in there. The four levels are in there. They go by fast. And then we see how they all go together. On the ground level, turtles and leopards and snakes live in the shelter the understory makes. The ground is so soft and the air is so clear, with 300 inches of rain every year. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Now does that sound like a participatory refrain to you? With four notes, oh, let the rain, you can sing it. Feed the thirsty ground, sing me the song of life. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. And down in the ground, the worms and the ants nurture the roots of the flowering plants. And up in the canopy, life is a breeze. Orangutans swing from the limbs of the trees. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Now, while some of us sing that part, some others of us can sing another part that goes, rain, come down, rain, come down. That's it. Rain, come down, la, la, la. Rain, come down. Oh, let the rain come down. Feed the thirsty ground. Rain, come down. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. High up above, where the toucans fly, they're birds. Emergent treetops reach into the sky. There's more kinds of plants than anyone knows. Look out, there's a sloth hanging by her three toes. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. And about this point, rain come down. I like to put in the pop quiz. Rain come down. What were those four levels of the rainforest? Who can tell us one? Any kids tell us one? What's one? Pardon? The bottom layer. Wait, and I want to... anybody got a name for it? Yeah, the canopy, the umbrella of all the, you know, another one? Yeah, the treetops, and then we call the above the canopy, the umbrella of all the trees. There are some big tall trees that stick up called the emergent level. Anybody know what's that level? There's the ground level, the bottom, the forest floor, and then there's all the stuff that likes to grow in the shade of the canopy. Anybody know what that's called? The understory, we know that one. So that's the four levels. And this is my musical memory device. There's the understory, the understory. If you got a low voice, be the understory. Understory goes up and down. The understory and the ground level. You can be the ground level, the ground level, the ground level, or the understory, or the ground level, canopy, ground level, canopy, find your level, canopy, canopy, Did the rain come down for the chorus, folks? Chorus, oh, let the rain come down, feed the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Oh, let the rain feed the thirsty ground. Rain come down, sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. That shows me is there's all this stuff going on all around us, up in the air, down in the ground, down in the water, all around us are all these things working together that keep us going. And one word for that might be harmony. I like that because I'm a musician. The harmony of nature, you've heard that phrase. But another word for it just might be peace, I think. And kids know about peace. Because we told them. We send our kids off to school, tell them, make friends, right? And they do. And you cooperate on a game or a chore, and you get this feeling that everything is going along nicely. That's peace, I think, and nice to find. I hope kids today will find a moment of peace in your life, and big people too. So kids, we're glad that you were with us this morning. And kids are going to go to their classes. We'll sing you out. We'll sing you out with one more chorus of the Rainforest Song. Let's try that. Oh, let the rain, thanks for being here, beneath the thirsty ground. Sing me the song of life you sing, such a beautiful sound. Oops, am I, do we have a different ritual we do? I'm sorry, I didn't know what that was. Bye, guys. Rain come down. 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 On the day after what we know, remember as the attack on America, know by its cryptic numerals 9/11. My garden yielded up corn and beans and cucumbers, eggplant. Persistent and unjudgmental as the sun that follows a storm, this orchard and garden has often been my asylum, and I find rooting in the soil to be fitting response in troubled times. Blanketed by winter snows, it still has made a soothing labyrinth for a meditative walk. Now seasons of bloom and fruit have come and gone again, while the perpetrator, long since identified, has haunted our collective soul. Immersed in this lush and healing context, I find myself dreaming of the conversation I might have had with Osama bin Laden. I picture he could be a farmer, a rich one, if given the chance. He'd probably see my abundance as the spoils of evil powers. Or maybe I'd just be a peasant in the eyes of such an extraordinarily rich man turned international criminal. I dream we could talk about injustice and struggle for equality in this sanctuary I've fashioned by my own hands. As the dog runs circles in her yard nearby, I would speak for nonviolence. He would have to educate me as to the oppression of his people, and no doubt make the case for revolution. Now, some may take offense at my attempt to even humanize this monster. The most disturbing part to reconcile is that he at least saw himself as a deeply religious man. I offer no defense for his actions, but world leaders have long sent young people into battle to kill, convinced of their justification. And some previously obscure Muslim cult certainly holds no monopoly on vengeance as policy. Perhaps it is not to the hardened criminal blinded by hate that I speak. I imagine listening, though, to the anger and the accusations of all the people he claims to represent here in my tranquil garden, among apple, peach, and cherry trees. There'd be enough beauty and serenity all about us to keep us engaged. In the company of swelling pumpkins or savoring a fresh tomato, we might talk of the horrors of war. Amid roses and fragrant herbs, we might consider what he could possibly hope to accomplish for his people through such violence. There is, I suppose, no real place for negotiation with the perpetrators of such crimes. Mr. Bin Laden, or all the others like him, would argue there's no negotiating with the evil U.S. and the corrupt Western powers. Under the grape arbor, we might argue and disagree and yet still be able to continue. I'm afraid, though, there might not be enough magic here, enough aura of harmony to keep our arguments constructive. It is not a large enough sanctuary to hold our whole dialogue in its energy field. One could easily run off in a fit of anger across the road, past the picket fence fortresses of the middle class, out to the highway and the city, where bastions of excess and consumption are monuments to a society dangerously out of balance with itself and the earth. It will take a bigger garden, a larger and more inclusive sanctuary where time is suspended for depth of reflection. I pray for that garden of all the earth where all are included, between the quiet where one might speak and be heard, and the sustenance of food, fresh air, and natural systems busy in their harmony of symphonic proportions. Only then might our dialogue really take root. I have words to say today about our Mother Earth, and we've come to refer to her as Gaia through the work of a scientist, James Lovelock, who wrote the book using the Greek goddess Gaia to personify for us that the earth is one living organism. And more about that later. But I, in the past couple of days, have been thinking about saying the usual zingers that I say about how privileged and abundant we are and in this country, and how what an expectation we have of just being above the rest of the world, in truth, and how the very acts of our shopping for whatever we like, driving our internal combustion engines around, and living this entitled lifestyle that we do, we are making war on the rest of the world. And in no poetic and uncertain terms, the very acts of, you know, buying at a big box store or such, buying from the giant gas companies and so on, is to be complicit in real wars that go on. Large corporations that employ private police and private armies, mercenary soldiers. You can, if you ever want to go so far as to buy the magazine Soldier of Fortune, to see what large corporations are looking for mercenary soldiers at any given time, and to think about what they do. And we hear about the massacres all over the world. But as a massacre has occurred right close to us, I wondered about holding us, you know, going through all this, holding us so responsible today. Maybe I should just go easy on us today and say it's a time of healing. And I would like to take a moment for that. I lived in Eugene, Oregon, and there was a school shooting just down the road from me in Springfield. I drove right by the school the day that that young man shot his classmates there. And you know, this goes on all the time. Yesterday, 30 to 35 people were killed by gun violence in this country. Today, 30, 35, or who knows, from day to day, the average is in there, that every single day, guns are killing people. I was in the Army. I shot one of those M14s and M16s. No one should have a weapon like that. It's a weapon of destruction, of war, that I've still never quite gotten in my head that that in a war it's somehow moral, but it certainly is not what we need for the well-armed and well-prepared militia that our constitutional amendment provides for. There's no purpose for this. Who but a monster would use it, you know? And I know that probably almost everyone in this room could get up and speak poignantly about how this is affecting you. And we like to hear each other talk, and we like to hear ourselves talk. And I even was thinking about that, that I wouldn't really say a lot about it. I think the most powerful thing we can do as we gather together in this power of all our metaphysical organisms right here, with the power we have to think and to put ourselves to a task together and think about how this community could have the strength to rise above. And I've visited at least a couple of Unitarian churches, particularly the UU Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, that endured a gunman walking in the door during the service and shooting people. It tests the power of our ability to make peace and our ability to hold each other in community and not leave anyone out, and to know the power of our community and how it sustains each one of us. I need you all as I go on my tours to talk and sing about peace and nonviolence, and particularly about green things, has been my joy really for the last few decades, to make songs about the earth and Gaia, our Mother Earth, and Mother Nature, and so on and so on, peace and justice and community. It's a nice life that I've ended up making almost, I don't know how, but by mistake, that I'm supported by my friends and I bring my songs. And but I'm informed about all that from all of you, everyone that I visit. And the Unitarian Universalist community has been my community since I'm old enough to be one U. I started at the Universalist Church of Norwell, Massachusetts. But you inform my travels. I'd like us to take a moment, and I'm going to close it with a song, to take another moment to just reflect on our community. It's the greatest investment. I want to say one more thing. It's the greatest investment in self-defense. You know, we have hawks that sell us defense in a way which is really offense. Our defense is our compassion and our forgiveness and our love for each other. That's our revenge. That's our end to any story. Is what we aspire to. Let's have a moment of silence and I'll sing you a song. I am waiting in the silence. I am waiting for the dawn. I am often found in reverence, though from many sources drawn. It is not mine to fight for justice, for it will not be found this day. I am peace, and I am waiting for the lost to find their way. You'll not find me set in judgment of the vain or of the weak, but I rise to meet the weary with the solace that they seek. Still I have not fed the hungry, nor strewn wealth among the poor. I am peace and bring but mystery and the patience to endure. I cannot save the suffering from their anger and their pain. Only open doors of insight, so the healing comes again. To the proud I am elusive, to the humble I am near. May the broken rise and look beyond the trappings of their fears. I am found among the seasons, autumn's death and spring's rebirth, as relentless their momentum as the turning of the earth. All are welcome in my presence, for only love can conquer hate. I am peace, and for the harvest I have planted and will wait.
Far beyond the grasp of hands, or light to meet the eye, past the reaches of the mind, there find the key to nature's harmony, in an architecture so like the birds whose patterns grace the sky and carry all who join in love, expanding. The message of peace will rise in light, taking the weight of the world upon its wings. In the oneness of our own are written in the earth forever. just might I know the faith that winters in the heart, to be reborn in spring, to hear and to feel the
so much to talk about, but I'm not going to. We put a lot into this service today, and I think rather than go through my whole sermon, I'm just going to tell you a joke. And I heard this joke when I was only 6 or 7, and I leaving the tall, narrow Universalist Church of Assanippi Corner in Norwell, Massachusetts. My dad had to explain this joke to me afterwards. And if I update it some, this is my version. It's something, and you know, plenty of stories like this. There's three guys, they bond at the, maybe the health club or at work or something like that. And they're all three different religions. And, you know, it could be any different ones. But in this case, there's the Jewish guy, and there's the Catholic guy, and there's the UU guy. And so they decide to go to each other's houses of worship, and they go to the temple, and you know, you wear this little beanie, and what's that? Yeah, that's your yarmulke. What are they talking about? Oh, that's Old Testament. You'd understand. You'd recognize it. And that all works fine. And then they go to the Catholic Church, and oh, they got good wine here, and you know, all these different things are going on there. The guests ask questions. You know, they're whispering, "What is that?" And you know, oh, well, that's the blood of Christ. That's the body of Christ, and so on. And that all works fine at the Catholic Church. Then the third time, they go to the Unitarian Universalist Church, and it's a big multi-purpose room, and everybody's standing around drinking coffee and eating little pieces of donuts until somebody rings this Tibetan chime and people go get the chairs, and it turns out the guy with the Dockers and the nicely trimmed beard, he's the minister, and he gets up in front of a little, maybe a podium like this or a music stand or something, and pulls that over, and he recites something from Thich Nhat Hanh and then welcomes everyone and he kind of ceremonially takes his watch off and he sets it right there. And one of the visitors says, "What does that mean?" The UU guy says, "Nothing." I might tell you more about my great affection for this poetic term that James Lovelock and Lynn Margulis, two scientists, gave us about using this Greek goddess Gaia to personify for us that the Earth is one living thing. They came out with the first book more than three decades ago, the Gaia hypothesis, Mr. Lovelock's idea, that the Earth is just one organism. We're all a part of that one body of life. It was not long after that that Unitarian Universalists voted democratically, that being another one of our principles, for our seventh principle at a General Assembly, the interdependent web of all life, another way of putting the same thing. And really, that's what I was going to talk about. And you know, I'm usually preaching to the convicted, and you know already most of anything that I might say. I do think it's important for us to get up and remind each other about it. But I'm going to just let the songs, would like to try to get two songs in and let that speak for all of this. So a song that I actually will tell you, the what's the word I want to hear? How this song came to be was I got a commission actually from the UUA when we were making the Gray Hymn Book. Some composers got a commission and they said, write a song. Well, I wrote the song, and then I was disappointed. They said, oh, that can't go in the hymn book. It modulates too much, and it's, you know, just too strange. It'll scare people, the double sharps and things. So, but it's a pretty good song, I think, and speaks to this whole issue of, I tried to say something about this great mystery, whatever it is, God, the goddess, Mother Nature, you know, Mother Earth, so on and so on, Gaia. And the word I came to is harmony. So as we celebrate our Mother Earth today, this life support system, let's also take this moment to celebrate this more immediate life support system, to think on and contribute to this life support system, the work of this church community, which means take the offering. So while you're practicing detachment, I will sing this song. Peace is a rolling sea, so full of mystery. I feel its harmony in ebb and crest. Peace is a work of art that moves the open heart. Peace is a place to start and final rest. Harmony of I hear you sing to me, let it wash over me, let it begin. Harmony of harmony, unfolding melody, I am your instrument, let peace begin. A beacon bright that brings us inner sight, a radiating light conquering fear. Peace is the wild bird's call, the painted leaves in fall. Peace is the health of all, I feel nature's glad refrain of love begun. All beings' songs are sung as bells together rung. Peace speaks in every tongue, all songs are one. Of harmony, I hear you sing to me, let it wash over me, let it begin. to invite you to sit for this last song, because I will. My wish for you, as now we part, is for greater peace to fill your heart with dreams as vast as starry space. So hurt and anger know no place. May truth be shared and wounds be healed, and joy for living be revealed through every fate and circumstance. May hope lead weary steps to dance, and may your life be as a song resounding with the dawn to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. May fears be turned with keen insight to wisdom for what's just and right. Where sorrow grows, compassion strong, and pains will pass before too long. May the bounds of our diversity serve a richer harmony. May courage hold your heart so true to smile on love when it smiles on you. And may your life be as a song resounding with the dawn to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. I'll sing a line, you sing it back, and may your life be as a song. Dawn to sing awake the light, resounding with the dawn to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. Ever dancing circles in the night. Try the whole thing, may your life, and may your life be as a song resounding with the dawn to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing. This turns out to be a four-part round. Ha ha ha, but I know we can do it in at least two parts. If you'll self-select rather than one side or the other, you know who you are. If you can do the second part, I'll show you where it starts. If you're unsure, stick with me. Then if you're adventurous, creative, or lost, be part three or part four. And may your life be as a song resound, and may your life be to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. And may your life be resounding with the dawn to sing awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles.
ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles in the night, ever dancing circles in the night. When Wisdom was a striking young man, he met a beautiful woman named Love. Now, actually, I'm not sure who was the man and who was the woman. Maybe they were the same sex. "I'd like to keep you," said Wisdom. "You can't own me," said Love, "but I love you anyway." "What would it cost to know you'd always be there?" asked Wisdom. "Don't ask such questions," said Love. "Just look at the stars." "Why?" Wisdom pondered. "Are they telling us something?" "Oh, chill out," chided Love, which made Wisdom happy in a funny sort of way. And so it was that Wisdom fell in love with Love and thus became truly wise. Let us go in peace. Let us stand and make a circle and sing Rise Up, Old Flame together. And then join us for coffee and conversation.